Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And the service department, outstanding, and they can always use more people. I mean, we are a great dealership with a 107-year-old reputation. You always need more people. So if you want to work in the quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame alignment, towing departments, experienced technician, entry level looking for the first job, someone looking for a career change, they love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. Okay, so let's get to it and get into it today. Start with the basketball schedule that was released. We'll get to the exciting part, then we'll get into the complaint department. The exciting part is, okay, I'll admit I've known for a while, but Penn State and Purdue are going to play at the Palestra on Sunday, January 8th. It'll be the third ever Big Ten game for Penn State at the Palestra. You go with those games against Michigan State and Iowa, where the atmosphere was just absolutely dynamic. So on Sunday, January 8th, Penn State will play Purdue at the Palestra. Okay. After that, Penn State has one Saturday game in the Jordan Center in the conference. That's it. Are you kidding me? So let me preface all this so everyone understands where I'm coming from. This has zero, like nothing, to do with me. Nothing. I will go anywhere, anytime, any day, any hour, and broadcast a game. Doesn't bother me what time we get back. Doesn't bother me what day we leave. Doesn't bother me what, where the game is, what time the game is. Never has. I think everybody who knows me knows that. So when I'm talking about the schedule, I always put it in the context of you, the fan, and also the program. Because more fans, better for the program. And to continue with context, whenever the Big Ten has done something that I consider to be right, I have praised it to the hilt. For example, the Big Ten TV contract. Could I lay out any more praise for that? I like the networks. I like how they're doing it. I think it's smart. Adding USC and UCLA. Love it. Couldn't praise it anymore from June 30th on since they announced it. Right? 2020 basketball schedule, for example. When that came out and I'm on the show, the 19-20 basketball schedule, could I appraise that schedule anymore? I said, it's a great schedule. During the season, it's a great schedule. Like the way it's laid out. So I do that. I will go make sure that when the conference or any entity is doing something right, I will praise it. That way, when it comes time to criticize something, you can sit back as somebody who listens to the show and says, hey, you know what? He's really fair. When he thinks it's right, he says it's right. When he thinks it's wrong, he says it's wrong. What is this? College basketball is meant to be played on Saturdays on the weekends. Yet the Big Ten is married over and over again to Sundays. Penn State has should have 5 weekend home games in the Big Ten and 5 on the road. Okay? And 5 in the middle of the week at home. It's only right, only fair. Penn State has 1 Saturday game and 4 Sundays, including the Palestra game. Come on. Know your markets. Saturday has always been, and again, we're talking about my 41 years of doing this. So you're not talking about some Johnny come lately. Saturday has always been the best day to draw at Penn State. And I'm not saying, and I've never said, all 5 of those games on the weekend should be Saturdays. I've never said that. I've said 3 out of 5 should be. Because for TV scheduling, you've got to have some flexibility. But 60% of them should be on Saturdays. 3. Where the students can be there. People here in the Valley can go. People in Harrisburg can go. People from Pittsburgh, where they feel like they're going to spend a weekend here. Whatever. That works in this market. Madison, for example, is a market of 200,000. Lincoln, 200,000. Columbus, over 1 million. Ann Arbor's Detroit. Here, people, you know, to get a bigger crowd, people do have to travel. That's why there's a lack of common sense to this. They get 1 Saturday game. It's January 21st with Nebraska. That's it. The other games are Sundays. Of course, the Palestra game, didn't matter to me which day that was. That's a special one. Stands out. The other 5 during the course of the week are during the course of the week. It's, you have to do that. No issue. Traveling on the road, I don't care. I think Penn State has 3 Saturday games on the road. That's fine. Doesn't matter to me. Those are road games. But it's just, I see stuff like this, and I ask myself over and over again, where's the common sense of this? Just like we've talked about football scheduling. But again, if you notice, again, in order to get perspective, you need to be fair in your analysis. So, for example, in the complaining of Penn State being on the road to open the Big Ten 12 out of 13 years, I have also said, and I said it on the pregame show when it was brought up Thursday night when Jack and I were there together, I said, despite all that, I still would like to see Penn State open on the road in the conference next year. Why? Because the scheduling formula is, in odd years, Penn State only has 4 home games in the conference. I don't want the opener to be at home with the idea of 3 of the next 8 being at home, or 5 of the next 8 being on the road. I'd rather that first one be on the road, that way you can balance out 4-4 the rest of the way. So I try to give a balanced commentary on this all the time. And I don't understand what the deal is on why the Big Ten is so heavy on Sunday games. I mean, I realize BTN needs inventory. I totally understand that. I totally get it. But you need more Saturday games. Saturday's, it's like college football. Saturday's a college basketball day. But that's just me. That's just how I've looked at it. If you think I'm wrong, please say so. And again, I'm not saying everyone should be on Saturday. Okay, you got 10 home games. 3 of the 10 should be on Saturdays at home. In this case, 3 out of 9 because the Purdue game's at the Palestra. I don't think I'm being unreasonable in bringing that up. The sequence of games is fine. I have no problem with the sequence. When they start, when the whole thing. They got a game on January 1, but that's a Sunday. January 2nd is actually the celebrated New Year's Day with the bowl games, things like that. So, we'll see. There you go. So that's where we start out today on the show. We have our roundtable today to preview high school football. We've got that coming up. And John Crispin today. Tomorrow, Bill Hillgrove and Merrill Reese. We're still taking your nominations as to new teams Matt should root for to make him happy.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I worry about you.
I'll tell you what, though. Hell is frozen over because Penn State finally gets to open at home at least.
They opened at home last year. They actually opened at home last year after five straight years of not.
Still just the fourth time in 14 years, which is just ridiculous.
I know, but again, I'm telling you, Matt, my biggest complaint is in an office that big, don't you have people that go over these things?
Exactly.
Come on. You can't just say, well, the computer said. No, you're a human being. Look at the spreadsheet.
Not only that, too, from a consumer standpoint, you're taking a home now. Granted, it is at the Palestra. You know, I'm not trying to degrade that whatsoever. That's a tremendous venue.
No, that's going to that will sell out.
No question.
Okay, but, and Penn State wants to play that game there.
Right, but what I'm also saying is, I think it would behoove the conference to give Penn State an extra Saturday home game for access for those who can't make the trip to the Palestra.
No. Can't do it. No. That's Penn State. Penn State elected to not play that game in the Jordan Center. They elected to play it at Philadelphia. So no.
Oh.
No. That was a choice that Penn State made. Not only that, but January 8th, the Sunday, is the return day to campus. Classes begin on the 9th, and your attendance on that day, I think, would be good but not great. In the Jordan Center. In the Palestra, you can sell it out. And not only that, have a great atmosphere.
Absolutely.
So I'm all for that. The one they need to get back, which they'll never get back, is when they played in Madison Square Garden against Michigan as part of what they call it, Big Saturday or whatever it was. Right? That was Penn State's home game. And I remember I said to Jim Delaney, I said, Jim, Penn State will get this back. He says, eventually. And I know darn well they were not going to get it back, ever. They're never getting that game back. See, that's something like that I complain about. The Palestra, Penn State elected to play that game in the Palestra. And they convinced Purdue to do it with them. No. That's Penn State should not get another home game. That was Penn State's choice as to where to play it. All right, we'll take a break. And it's always great. I mean, and for Dick, this works out great. They got a game at Maryland, game at Rutgers, game at the Palestra. He's got three home games out of it.
Can't beat that.
I mean, got to get Girardi more home games. So there we go. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Well, I thought that we played, you know, the first half really well, you know, and then I thought that the cramping affected me a little bit. which is completely controllable. I got a little bit too excited at after the Brenton touchdown. So after that, I kind of started cramping a little bit. I know Coach addressed it. It's not really an issue. But, you know, had that. And then in the third quarter, it affected me a little bit. But at the same time, I thought that there was a lot of throws that I just need to make. But no, I mean, Purdue also came out and ran some new looks too. They made their halftime adjustments. They made some pretty solid halftime adjustments. Thought they did a really good job of that in the third quarter. And then once we made some adjustments ourselves, then we came out and played better ball. So I thought it was, you know, it's a chess game. It's what football is. So I thought it was just a great game of football also. Just, it was like fun just to be a part of.
Sean Clifford after practice last night. Four touchdowns, one interception, threw for 280, and the Nittany Lions won the opener a week ago tonight. Very quickly on Sean, started cramping up. Now, there have been all sorts, as usual, all sorts of rumors as to why he was in the locker room. And the rumors have dealt, it didn't sound pretty. I'll leave it at that. Where do you come up with this stuff? I mean, seriously. I mean, Jack and I even addressed he's cramping, he's getting an IV. That's why Andy kept going back to check, like, you know, like, how are you on the IV? Where are you? And that's why they did it. Like, oh, I just... You know how hard it is to sit there sometimes and you hear so many legitimately stupid things said? I heard he had, like, no... Heard he had to go to the bathroom. No. Oh.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I feel like there are moments where you feel like you're in the land of make-believe. All right. All right. I mean, we knew why he was what was going on. Hey. Then you hear stuff, and like people say, why do you look at me like that? Like, because what you're saying is very strange. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. Got a walkthrough tonight. James on the show tonight. We have a high school roundtable, John Crispin coming up. Tomorrow, Merrill Reese, Bill Hillgrove. NFL opener tonight, Bills and Rams. That game is on NBC, by the way. The Amazon Prime games start next Thursday. And that's Chiefs and Chargers, I believe. Several nominations for teams that Matt should now follow. Most of them are on other continents.
I'd rather stay in the U.S.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kim, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department that makes it all pay off. All right. We'll get back to the basketball thought in a moment. Again, it doesn't matter to me about the sequencing of games or anything like that. And Penn State needs to go out and win and just play what's in front of them. When I'm talking about the basketball schedule, I'm talking about what's good for attendance at the Jordan Center, which is good for the program. What's good for you, the fan. What's easiest for you, the fan. And what's good for attendance at the Jordan Center. That's all I'm talking about. Right? Nothing else. No other agenda than that. Michael will just go out and play the schedule he's got to play. Dick and I will go out and announce the schedule they play. And that's what we do. So the complaint has nothing to do with that or anything. It has to do, all my complaint on the schedule deals with you, the fan. All of it. What easiest and best for you? All right. So let's get to it here. High school football, our roundtable. So let's get to it with Zach Showers in the, let's see, I guess what, Chiefs first today? Is that what we got?
Yes, Chief is first today.
All right. And Shikalamia after the loss to Mifflin County. Hey, Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Well, it's good to be here, Steve. I just wish I could come bearing better news.
Yeah. No. Well, so let's start with this. Honestly, even in a second game that doesn't go well, there had to be a couple of areas where there was a game one to game two improvement. Where might that have been?
Well, I think it had to do overall with the passing game. Our freshman quarterback had some complete passes, and he had some passes that were dropped that probably should have been caught. But we scored two touchdowns. All right, so it wasn't like we got completely shut out. I don't think the kids played hard on all four quarters. That was probably the most positive thing that I saw, is the fact that they did play hard. I thought the defensive line and the linebackers did a good job of stopping the run. Unfortunately, the kid from Central Mountain had one of those Joe Montana nights, it was something that I don't think the coaching staff or the kids were expecting, because he only threw like three passes the week before against Central Mountain. But you know, there were some highlights there. We had a couple of quarterback sacks. They stuffed the run most of the night. There was one long game, but for the most part, it was the passing defense again that was probably the Achilles heel.
So I know it's only a couple of games in. How badly though do these young people need success?
Big. I think that they need a win. I get a chance to watch their practice. I get a chance to see on huddle the things that they do, and the coaches are. Steve, I'm not an expert on the offense and defensive parts of football, but sure. I've been around long enough to know that I'm watching kids that are being coached right. And that's something that they have to understand. That if they just listen to what your coach tells you to do and you do your job, you're going to be successful. Well, they need a win in order to, I think, to get that into their heads. So I think this is a very crucial game up at Central Mountain. I saw Central Mountain play, and I think that it's another winnable game. Of course, I thought we could probably be going to be 3-0 right now instead of being 2-1 at the end of this week. But I think one win will turn the kids back on.
A lot of this is about matchups, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you've seen, Dave? It turns out that in a certain point in a certain time they just haven't had a favorable matchup.
As far as speed versus speed, we match up very well. The two teams that we played have had, I think, better offensive lines than we have had.
Yeah.
But I think both teams that we played, our defensive line was solid too. I wish I could come up with a magic pill that I could look at and tell you exactly what's wrong or what's going on. But I can't. But I can. I looked at Central Mountain, and I think that as far as size, and as far as talent, and as far as speed, I think we match up very well against them. The only problem is we're traveling up to Mill Hall next week, and this will be the second year in a row that we'll be playing on their field. So that's how it is when you have a long road trip.
I'm getting the sense though that Central Mountain, which has been very good in recent years, this may not be that kind of team. Is that the sense you get when you see huddle and looking at them?
Yeah, I do. When I coached and I used to scout for Coach Purnell and Coach Tyler, there's nothing like actually being at the game and seeing it, seeing those kids perform live, as opposed to watching. Now we watch it on digital film or what you want to call it, TV. But you know, if I could get out to see them live, I might have a better aspect of how we do match up against them. But watching them on the huddle, and you know, I saw them play Bloomsburg and I saw them play Mifflin County, so I have a pretty good idea how they played against Mifflin County and how they played against Bloomsburg and how we played against Mifflin County, and I think we match up very well against Central Mount.
Dave, always a pleasure. You and Kevin do a great job on Friday nights. What an enjoyable listen for all of us, even when it doesn't go well on the field.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I feel very blessed that I get a chance to do this. I really do. And I thank you for the compliment, Steve, and have a good call this Saturday for you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. Means a lot. All right, let's turn our attention to Sealands Grove. Zach Schauer steps in. Zach, first of all, welcome. Great to have you back.
Hey, thanks as always for having me on.
So let's use the same opening question that I used with Dave. You're looking for 1 week to the next. Do you see improvement? Are you seeing improvement week to week?
Yeah, as a whole, I think you would say that. It was a pretty gutsy win by Sealands Grove last week that I can talk about a little bit later, but overall, I think probably the biggest area of improvement that we saw was kind of the defensive line being able to make some plays, getting into the backfield on Friday night against a pretty good Juniata team, and the secondary. You had three new starters out there in week one, and it just seemed like they were more comfortable. They were able to get three interceptions of the Juniata quarterback after giving up a big play early, and we're really able to shut that down. Offensively, there are some injuries again, but overall, I think the offensive line gained some confidence with some scoring drives in the second half.
You find out a lot when you get into a tight game. What did you find out?
Well, I would even add a little bit more than a tight game last week. You found out that Sealands Grove has a team, a team that fights this year, a team that plays together as a team. Most of the local people know that Sealands Grove got down 14-0 and lost their starting quarterback Mark Pastore on a hit where he was slammed to the turf in the second quarter. And Sealands Grove is very, very young at that position from the backup perspective. And they were able to take their starting wide receiver, who's probably their biggest playmaker on offense, who really hasn't taken any snaps, and put him in the game at quarterback. And he was able to lead two touchdown drives and a field goal drive, including an over 80 play drive, 86-yard drive on 8 plays. With under 3 minutes, and Sealands Grove was able to punch in a score to take the lead 17-14. So it was one of those games where it seemed like all the momentum was on the side of Juniata going into halftime, based on what had happened in the first half, but also the fact that that Mark Pastore was down for the game. And these guys stepped up and they made plays. It almost turned into backyard football, but the defense was able to make stops, and you had a lot of upperclassmen, some who hadn't been, real big playmakers, were able to step up and make plays when it mattered.
All right, so how do you view this week now? Because obviously, they're a banged-up football team. How do you view it?
Well, I think it's one of those weeks. Talking to Coach Derek Hicks yesterday, his message this week is just compete. This Jersey Shore team is loaded. He said he thinks it's the best Jersey Shore team that he's seen in all the teams that have played the past couple years. And really the number one priority right now is health. There's a number of guys that if you can get through this week should be returning the week after to face Shamokin. So you don't want to, to turn the page and just think about the following week. But the real concern right now is getting a couple guys healthy and then just competing. The status on Mark Pastore for the next couple weeks and season is still unknown. So you're going to need to get some reps with Gavin Bastian as your starting quarterback. And really, you just want to see the guys compete, hopefully give Jersey Shore all they can handle, but most importantly, come out of there healthy and ready to take on the rest of the schedule.
Zach, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Greg Wetzel now joins us in the studio where he's been completely abandoned.
By myself.
I mean, again, it's... Suit said he'd stop by, so we'll make this fast so you can get out of there.
Okay.
So
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul.
All right, Greg, so where do you think things stand with this team right now?
Mentally, believe it or not, they're not in a bad place.
Okay.
I was at practice on Tuesday. They seemed really good. In fact, the day after the Jersey Shore game, they had a car wash, a team car wash, and the team was in pretty good spirits for the car wash. So... mentally, that was my biggest question coming out of that game. How are they going to be mentally? And they seem to be in pretty good shape. They're looking forward to playing Montoursville. It's a team they think they can beat. So I think mentally they're in a good spot right now.
All right. So what, you know, you talked about that part of it, the bonding part. In terms of actual game play, mm-hmm. what positives are you seeing?
Well, I think the positives right now for the team is, even though they're 0-2, he is starting to create some depth by playing a lot of kids. He played three freshmen a lot against Jersey Shore, and when I'm talking a lot against Jersey Shore, when Jersey Shore had their first team in the game, he was playing three freshmen a lot. So I think that's a positive to take out of it. The other thing is, Cam Michaels is, everybody knows in the area that Cam Michaels is Lewisburg's playmaker. He hasn't been that involved in the offense yet because they've literally taken him out of the offense, the opposing teams. So other kids have started stepping up, making some catches, making some runs. So I think those are the positives that we take out of the two games right now. The team is figuring out that, hey, we don't need just Cam to move the ball. We have other kids that can help us move the ball.
Where do they need to be better?
Offensive and defensive line, Steve. It's that's it in a nutshell. On it, and if they can do that, I think they're going to be fine. They have a couple games right now. The next two out of the next three games, they have a chance that they can really be competitive with. The middle game, Southern Columbia. We'll see how they come out of this game and what it's like going into Southern, but. They have a chance to be competitive, and if that offensive and defensive lines can block people and move people out of the way, defensive line makes some penetration, I think they have a chance to be good because the strength of Lewisburg's defense is their linebackers, and we all know the defensive line has to keep those linebackers clean so they can make the tackles.
Seems like the schedule's front-loaded. That sometimes it doesn't help you.
Oh, that is for sure. It is front-loaded. And last year, we won five out of the last seven games. And you know what? That's what the kids are talking about at practice the other night. Hey, look, guys, we won five out of our last seven last year. We can turn this around, you know. So some seniors are starting to show that leadership, trying to get the younger kids to realize that the season's not over yet.
What will be the important factors this week?
I think if they can score first. If they can get a lead, get some enthusiasm and fire, I think, and move the ball offensively, I think that will go a long way towards helping Lewisburg have a successful night.
To me, that's always a big part.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
I mean, the ability. There's a psychological part to playing with the lead, which I just don't think you can replace, Greg. And I talk about playing with the lead all the time. I mean, Penn State comes from behind and beats Purdue.
Yeah.
That's a wow thing. But, boy, there's something about playing with the lead where there's a comfort thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's also going to be a comfort thing for the coaches, too. You know, they haven't been ahead this year. Get the lead, make a stop on defense, get the ball back, and see what they can do, how they can turn it around.
My friend, always a pleasure. So great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Steve.
Greg Wetzel. That's our high school football roundtable. John Crispin in the next half hour. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Watching it back, I thought he handled it like a pro. Really excited for his progression. I thought that, you know, it was a big jump because, you know, last year coming in the Iowa game, I thought that, you know, Drew took a step where take one, you know, that was another tough road environment. I thought that Drew handled the noise. I thought he handled the pressure of being out there really well. And it gives me just a lot of comfort knowing that we got guys behind me that just are want to play, urge to play, and can play. So it was, you know, exciting to watch on tape.
Sean Clifford on Drew Aller, who was had to come into the game against Purdue. Matt is still mad. He hasn't been announced as the backup quarterback. You're still mad about that?
He should be. That's why.
Well, you don't know what's going on.
I know.
I didn't know it was imperative you knew.
I'd like to know.
Should I mention to James he should tell you? Here. You want James's number? Here. I'll send you James' cell number. Okay?
Okay.
You can text it. You can text him yourself. It'll be a lot of fun for all of us. And then he can scream at me tonight. It'll be great.
It's okay. I can be patient.
No, you can't. Have you heard this show? My goodness. What was it? Dave from Jameson sent you that email last week?
Yes. That was perfect.
Go ahead. Do you have it? You got to tell everybody what's on it.
I'll have to pull it up, but word for word, he basically called you, like, nostalgic, you know, been there, like, type thing, and then me, I'm, like, heart-pounding and opinionated.
They basically said I'm calm, cool, collected, and you're not. I will give him credit. He left the word angry out of his assessment for you.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
He did call it pretty good, though.
Yeah, let's see here. Let me find this thing. Go past that email from the Learfield sales team. Everything went great on our end. Okay, good. Good for you. Said no words on the broadcast, but I'm glad it went great for you.
Oh, right. My almighty!
It's like I sit there and go, what? You notice I don't participate in email exchanges. So.
I gathered.
Why? Well, Jack doesn't either. What do you want me to say? Everything was hunky-dory on my end? I mean, heck. Give me a break. If I need something, I get a hold of somebody. That's, I mean... In other words, Ben Conley at Learfield, if I need something, and today I did. Okay? I got a hold of Ben. In other words, when they see an email from me, they were like, oh, he never gets a hold of us for anything else. Usually just solves it himself. It must be important. That's why they get back to you right away. You don't bombard them with nonsense. You hate that. It bothers you.